From Spark and Anvil and ProofQuest, this is Ked, Mentor, in Chapter 1 of the ProofQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. It was an inevitable question, one that would arise sooner or later, in the quiet after a particularly challenging proof, when the chop dust was settling and the mind was both exhausted and sharp. "What did you do?" a student would ask, "before you came here." Ked always provided an answer, because answering questions was the entire point of the exercise. "I was a detective," Ked would say, voice low and even. For 15 years, Ked worked cases. Most were modest logistical knots awaiting methodical untangling. A merchant in the capital alleged a discrepancy in a spice shipment. Ked traced the shipping manifests and discovered the missing crate sitting forgotten in a warehouse two towns away. Two villages disputed a field boundary that had shifted over a generation. Ked walked the old stone walls with the original survey, resolving the matter without a single raised voice. A thief stood accused of two crimes committed simultaneously on opposite sides of the city. Ked demonstrated, with a map and a timetable, that the thief would have required wings to accomplish both. Ked's objective was not to name the actual culprit, as that was not the nature of the job. The job was to delineate what was possible, and more importantly, what was impossible. However, one case defied this pattern of resolution. Ked only spoke of it when a student posed the critical follow-up question, "Did you solve them all?" The answer was no. It was the case of the Gable Bridge, the very investigation that taught Ked the profound difference between a puzzle and a mystery. A puzzle, by its nature, has an answer. A mystery, by contrast, might not.
18 years before arriving at the academy, Ked was summoned to a river valley 50 miles north of the capital. For 46 years, the Gable Bridge had stitched the two sides of the valley together, a handsome timber truss construction built by an engineer of some renown. This was not the same gable as in Gambit Tales. Names sometimes possess their own curious repetitions. The bridge wasn't famous or grand, but its primary virtue was its unremarkable reliability. It was the kind of structure you didn't notice, which is precisely what made it a good one. Hundreds of carts and travelers traversed its sturdy planks every week, trusting its integrity without a second thought. By every available measure, the bridge was perfectly sound. Until the morning, it wasn't. One day in late summer, it simply gave way. With a sound like a giant's weary exhalation, followed by a percussive crack of thunder, the entire structure collapsed into the river below. By some small miracle, no one was on it, the single piece of fortune in the entire affair. The engineer's family called it divine intervention. The local council, however, called it an unmitigated catastrophe. They called Ked to determine why.
For 3 months, Ked was immersed in that valley, the case transforming into a singular obsession. Ked clambered over the splintered wreckage, where immense timbers jutted from the water like the fractured bones of a leviathan, and interviewed farmers, merchants, and children, indeed anyone who had crossed the bridge in its final week. The original construction notes, penned in the engineer's elegant script, appeared flawless. Every promising theory Ked formulated disintegrated under rigorous inspection. Was it weather damage? The sky had been conspicuously clear for a month. Was it a matter of overloading? A meticulous review of shipping logs demonstrated only the usual, predictable traffic of grain carts and goat herds. The possibility of sabotage, a persistent whisper in the local taverns, remained unsubstantiated, since the whispers never attached themselves to names or credible motives. Could a flaw exist in the wood itself? Ked had samples dispatched to the university, where analysis confirmed the grain was sound and the timber robust. A sudden inundation from upstream? The river was as placid as it had ever been. Each possibility was a door Ked opened,
only to discover it led to an impenetrable wall. Every fact seemed to contradict the next, creating a puzzle with too many pieces that refused to fit. At the conclusion of 3 months, the council demanded an answer. Ked sat with the open case file, its pages filled with meticulous notes that ultimately led nowhere. There was no grand conclusion, no single revelatory fact that unlocked the mystery. There was only the unvarnished truth of the investigation itself. In the final report, Ked wrote a single stark conclusion. "I have systematically ruled out every explanation I have considered. I have therefore not yet identified the cause. I will not pretend otherwise." The council was furious. They wanted a culprit, or at the very least a reason. An act of God, a hidden structural deficiency, anything but this admission of uncertainty. Ked gave them only what the evidence permitted, which was nothing.
The case remained open. Although a new bridge was eventually constructed, and life in the valley returned to a semblance of normality, the files stayed on Ked's desk. For years, Ked would periodically retrieve it, hoping some new perspective, some fresh angle, might yet materialize. Nothing ever did. The persistent, empty space in that file taught Ked something more profound than any solved case ever had. It taught that the essential work wasn't always about discovering the answer, but about honoring the integrity of the steps it took to get there. If those steps failed to lead to a conclusion, you did not have the right to invent one. This principle became the very heart of Ked's methodology, and later, the foundation of Ked's teaching. Show your work. Trust the steps. It was the reason Ked framed every new idea at the academy with such deliberate care. Cassius is here today. Let's observe what he assumes and where that assumption consequently leads. The framework mattered. The honesty mattered most of all. Ked retired at 38, and the reputation that followed was not for being the most clever detective in the kingdom, but for being the most intellectually honest. Word had spread through the courts and universities. Ked was the reasoner who would forthrightly tell you when they did not know. It was this very reputation that prompted the letter from the academy. The master's note was brief. "We have plenty of people who can give our students answers," it read. "We need someone who will teach them how to handle the questions that don't have any." So Ked came. The bridge file is still with Ked, tucked away in a drawer at home. Once a year, on the anniversary of the collapse, Ked takes it out. The pages are worn and the ink has faded, but the empty space at the end remains. There is never any new evidence. The case will never close. Ked has come to accept this. It is a quiet, stubborn fact, a monument to the limits of reason. And in its own strange way, that is the most important lesson of all. Sometimes, after a student presents a particularly elegant proof of impossibility, Ked will lean in. "You can rule things out forever," Ked says, a faint smile touching the lips. "And you will not always find the one true answer, but you will not fool yourself either. And that is a victory." It is, Ked believes, exactly enough.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to KEED. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.